Father God, you are so much more than we can even imagine. When we consider who you are and who we are, with the psalmist we think, who are we that you're mindful of us? And yet, Lord God, you are. You think about us. Your plan from the very beginning was to provide a way back for us. When we messed up, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, you still loved us. And you sent your only begotten Son to die in my place, in our place, to take upon His own shoulders, His own back, His own side, His own hands and feet and His head. Lord, His blood spilled for us because of our sins. You sent Him to pay what we owed, that through Him we might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh God, how much, how very, very much do we have to be thankful for? Help us to be grateful people. Open our hearts and our minds today to your truth. Guide us by your Spirit. Father, forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanksgiving. Count your blessings. You know, I remember what grade, second grade, third grade, something like that. I remember a teacher having us before Thanksgiving take out a sheet of paper and list what we were thankful for. And I can remember as a kid, it didn't take long till I had the sheet filled up. I had to, you know, go on the back. So we have so many things to be thankful for. Now you might say, well, I've got a bunch of bad stuff going on lately. And I hear you. We all do. We don't feel as good as we were when we were younger, maybe. We're sick, or we got family members that are sick. Maybe our job's not what it wants to be. Maybe relationships are not where you want them to be. But still, you have so much to be thankful for. Some scripture we want to look at this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. Look at that. The grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, what is grace? Grace is the unmerited love of God. Grace is a word we use to mean that God loved us when I didn't deserve it. Now, if you think about it, quite often human love is pointed toward someone or something that we find lovely. Think about it. Someone or something that is attractive to us in some form, we find that person or that object lovely, and then we love it. Scripture says God loved us when we were dead in our trespasses and sin. That's grace. That's grace. We had nothing lovely in us. As a matter of fact, it's exactly the opposite. We were extremely unlovely. And yet God loved us. Let's keep going. Psalm 107, 8 and 9. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His what? Goodness. And for His what? Wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Now, I know that some of you have been, and I've done the same thing, you'd say something to this effect before Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. You'd say, I'm starving. When are we going to eat? Now, number one, you're not starving. Okay? You're not starving. But you've got this longing to go eat some turkey and dressing or ham or mashed potatoes or grandmom's dumplings. Grandmom used to make the best dumplings. Or lane cake or pecan pie. You know, the list goes on and on. I know I'm making you hungry. But, you know, we understand what the psalmist is saying here about having a longing and a desire to be satisfied. But he's going even deeper. God is telling us here that he satisfies a longing that's a lot deeper and more intense than being hungry for dumplings or dressing. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen Thursday. You're going to pig out and you're going to say, I'm never going to eat again. And you're going to eat again in probably about 3 or 4 hours. Because we get hungry again, don't we? But this longing in the soul that God's talking about can only be filled by a relationship with Jesus Christ. And once it is filled, you are satisfied for eternity. You're satisfied for eternity. Peace and contentment for eternity only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness, we have so much to be thankful for. For he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Let me ask you, are you hungry for Jesus Christ? Are you hungry for that kind of relationship? If you are, he will fill it and he will satisfy you. Let's keep going. 2 Corinthians 9:15, very simple statement here. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Indescribable gift. That's Jesus. You can't put him in a box. You can't fully describe him, but you know it when you got him. Amen? You know it when you got him. Why do bad things happen? Because evil is in the world. Evil entered the world when man allowed it to back at the Garden of Eden, and we've been paying the penalty, we've been paying the consequences ever since. Why does an 18-year-old kid shoot and kill a sheriff in Lowndes County? I don't know. Why do countries shoot and kill each other? James tells us, in fact, we looked at this verse not too many weeks ago. Wars start in here. Violence starts in here. Evil starts in here. Does evil exist? Oh, yes, it does. Evil is manifested when we give place in here to Satan. Is your heart filled? Is your soul filled and satisfied with Jesus Christ? Or are you trying to fill it with the things of the world? If you are, you will never be satisfied. Ever. So, let's keep going. So what does it require? How can we be thankful people? How can we be grateful people? It requires three things that we need to do. We're going to talk about today. Focus, faith, and follow through. You ain't got to write them down now. You'll see them one at a time. Focus, faith, and follow through. First of all, we got to have the right focus. The right focus. I went deer hunting one time, Brother Terry, with a friend of mine up in Coosa County. And David's family had some land up there. It was a beautiful country. And I knew it was rocky and it was thick. And I didn't really have a rifle that I wanted to take into that kind of environment. So my brother had a 30-30 Marlin, you know, a carbine, a shorter rifle with a see-through scope mount. Now, what do I mean by that? That means that that's a rifle you could use the scope to shoot at a longer distance, or you could use the iron sights to shoot at a shorter distance. So I thought that would be the gun to take with me. So I go, and we spend all day out near Beaver Pond, and it was a beautiful day. It rained all day. But, you know, I was out away from work, so I was having a good time. And come near the time we were going to go meet, we'd agreed upon a time. So I climbed down out of the tree stand, dropped the hammer down on the 30-30, put the safety on, and I'm walking back toward the Jeep. And I hear David whistling coming back. And so I turned to meet him. I heard the noise in the brush, and I expected to see David come out of the bushes and a 10-point buck. I'm not kidding you. A 10-point buck comes out of the bushes, probably no farther from me than to those doors back there. And I don't know who's more surprised, me or the 10-point buck. So he turns sideways and headed up the hill. I pulled the gun down, flipped the safety off, and about the time I squeezed the trigger, I realized I had dropped the hammer already. So I had to back the hammer then, and he was topping the hill. I shot, knowing that I wasn't going to get him, but I wasn't going to let him get away without a shot. So I shot. Didn't do any good. He was gone. He was gone. So, you know, we plan all kinds of things. We think that we've got everything under control, and yet things happen we don't expect and we have no control over. Had my focus been instantly on the noise, I might have bagged me a 10-point buck. But my focus was somewhere else. I was thinking about, I don't know what I was thinking about, but it wasn't about that. And I was surprised. So if we're going to be grateful people, we've got to have the right focus. James tells us in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now what is he saying? He's saying every good and perfect gift comes from God. He is the source of every good and perfect gift. You hear me? You didn't get it because you earned it. You got it because God gave it. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. God is the source of all blessings. Amen? He is the source of all blessings. Do not forget that. Maintain that focus. To be truly thankful requires us to focus on something other than ourself. Something other than ourself. Because quite often when we focus on ourself, we think about, oh, I need this, I need that, it's all about me. Well, it's not all about you, it's not all about me. I think you will find that truly thankful people are not self-centered and focused on self. Because if we truly realize that God is the giver of all these great blessings, we know we don't deserve them. We need to be praising Him and using that time to touch others with that same love that we're given. A clarity of vision requires correct focus in life. Correct focus in life. You guys been to the eye doctor before, and they plop this thing back and down in front of your eyes, and the eye doctor says, "What about now? What about now? What about now?" He flips it about 10 times a second. And I'm like, "I don't know if you'll be still, I'll tell you." But eventually, if you make him slow down, you'll be like, okay, that's pretty good. Go back. Yeah, that's the best focus. Clarity of vision requires a correct focus. If you go through life trying to focus on something other than God, then your vision is not going to be clear. Because you're focusing on the wrong thing. Focusing on self. Focusing on stuff. Focusing on pleasure or whatever the list is, you're going to miss out. Because Scripture tells us the man that seeks to save his life, what's going to happen to him? Going to lose it. Going to lose it. Because if you're all about trying to hold on to the stuff, you're not going to. You're not going to. I have never, in the years I've been in ministry, I have never been called ever to the bedside of a person dying who was concerned that they had not amassed enough stuff. Never, ever. Their concern has always been in relationships, time not spent with someone, something left undone, times not spent serving God. Never, ever. Never, ever have I met one that said, you know, I wanted to climb higher in the corporate ladder and didn't make it. And I regret that. Never heard it. Never heard it. Because it doesn't happen. What is your focus in life? Are you focused on God, on the things of God, or are you focused only on what you want and what you feel? Secondly, faith. To be thankful not only requires the right focus, it requires real faith. Scripture tells us without faith it is impossible to please God. Not hard, not a maybe, but impossible. You cannot please God without faith. Abraham's a man of faith. You look in Hebrews chapter 11, you see the quote-unquote faith hall of fame. These individuals who had faith in God. And you will not have victory in life if you do not have faith in God. Doesn't work. Will not work, cannot work, never has, never will. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, and without faith, it is impossible to be victorious. Can't do it. Can't do it. You need to trust, and that's when we talk about the word faith, that's what we're talking about really, trust. A trust that moves me into action. Trust in who He says He is, not who somebody else says He is. And not in who you think He is or not who you feel like He ought to be. Those things can get you into trouble. Trust who He says He is right here. Trust Him. Not what the media says about Him. Not what anybody says about Him. But trust who He says He is. Jesus asked Peter, "Who do people say I am?" And they started giving all these answers. Elijah, one of the prophets, or something like that. But the question, when it boils down to, is the same one he asked Peter. But who do you say I am? Who is Jesus to you? Do you really have faith, or are you just talking about it? Faith is getting out of the boat. Peter, bless his heart, got out of the boat. Now Peter's hot-headed. Peter would shoot off at the mouth. But Peter exercised real faith. He got out of the boat. Why is Abraham in the Hall of Fame when he messed up? He's in the Hall of Fame because he was a man of faith. God told him to get up from the area he was born and raised in, from his family, from everything he knew, and leave. And go to a land I will show you. What do you mean, God? Yeah. Go to a land I will show you. Well, he did. And because of that, he's the father of actually Jews and Christians, really. Faith is an active verb. It's not passive. Faith is not about sitting down on a pew and agreeing with the preacher. Faith is about getting up and stepping out on that faith, on that belief, on that trust. Faith is not exercised within the four walls of the sanctuary. Faith is exercised the minute you leave the sanctuary. Faith is exercised at work when you've got to work with folks that don't know who Jesus is and don't care. Faith is when you've got to stand up for Christ at school when nobody else will. Faith is when you've got to do it at work. People don't like it. Faith is when you speak out for Christ and they don't like it. Faith's when you make a stand that's going to cost you. Faith is when you do what's right when nobody's looking. Faith is a lifestyle. Do you hear me? Faith is a lifestyle. Not something you just hear about on Sunday. Faith makes the impossible possible. Amen? Faith makes the impossible possible. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of history, man. When I was growing up, I thought about majoring in history, but I thought, well, I couldn't make a living doing that, so I didn't do it. But I really do love it, especially like World War II, you know, military history, stuff like that. And I start looking back at some of those things, like the Battle of Coral Sea or Midway, and you start seeing things happen, and you thought, man, that was a wonderful coincidence right there. No, it wasn't coincidence. God's hand was in that. People exercised their faith. What about you? You say you trust Jesus Christ. Do you really? Do you really trust Jesus Christ? It's like this. If I got a boat, if I got a kayak, and I say, you know, you can use my kayak and you can take it out. Do you trust that kayak to stay afloat? If you do, you get in it and get the paddle and you go. If you don't trust it, you may tell me, oh yeah, man, I'm excited about that. But if you don't get in it, then the truth is you don't trust the kayak. Now remember, though, ultimately it is not it's not the size of our faith that matters. It is the object of our faith. A little bit of faith. A little bit of faith. The faith of a mustard seed. A little bit of faith. And a good boat will get you across the river. Big faith. Immense, giant-sized faith. In a leaky boat, we'll get you wet. Jesus said it only takes the faith the size of a mustard seed to move a mountain. It's not the size of the faith. It's who your faith is in. Is your faith in the person of Jesus Christ, in the living, loving, forever Lord of the universe? Thirdly, there's got to be follow through. There's got to be follow through. Scripture talks about the walk. That means it's a daily thing. Thankful every day. Not just on November the 28th. Every day. Get up, thankful. Go to bed, thankful. Be thankful during the day. You see something, say, God, I know you did that. Thankful. Scripture says, in all things give thanks. Now, that's difficult sometimes. Amen. That's difficult. Sometimes it don't look like anything's good about it. He didn't say give thanks only in the good things, though. He said in all things give thanks, because if we belong to Jesus Christ, we can find something in that situation to be thankful for. Amen. God is working in that. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. In all things, give thanks. And most especially, let me encourage you, when you don't understand, give thanks. Now that's hard to do, but give thanks. When you don't understand what's going on, give thanks. Lord, when I don't know what you're doing, give thanks. When you say, Lord, are you sure this is what you want to do? You give thanks. Hey, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. The last church I was at, when I was called to that church, I wasn't going. I was perfectly content where I was. I was not going. No way, form, or fashion. I told them no. But then they say, well, will you at least pray about it? Well, what are you going to say to that? No, I'm not going to pray about it. Yeah, I said, sure, I'll pray about it. And slowly God was changing my heart. And finally, now, did I hear an audible voice? No. But in my spirit, God said, at the end of the day, God said, are you going to do what I said, or are you going to do what you want to do? What do you say to that? So here I am. When we don't understand, give thanks. Because God is in control. Give thanks that He is, because it's a mess. It's a mess. I'm glad He's in control. Where is your focus? Who or what is your faith in? And are you following through? Are you following through? Here is your compass point. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You cannot really separate thanksgiving and praise. You can't do it. I've tried. I've tried doing the thing, you know, with the prayer time where you divide it into praise time and all. I can't do it. Because even when I write my prayers down, I can't do it. Because I'll start out praising God, and then I'll start thanking Him for things. And then I'll start thanking Him for things, and then turn back and I'll be praising Him. So I'm just like, it goes together. I can't separate them. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Think about it. When you reach the end of your physical life, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, can you imagine what it will look like to enter His gates? No, you can't, because I can't either. I mean, you know, artists have painted what they thought it would look like. John tells us in the Revelation what he... But see, he's limited with the human vocabulary. That's all he can write down there. When it says the streets are paved with gold, what does that mean? Well, it means the streets are paved with gold, yeah, but we need to understand what he meant by that. Not just that there's gold on the streets. His point is, look at this, now think about this. What is the most expensive thing men have killed for, fought wars over for ages? Gold. The gold standard. If paper money is no good, what do you go to? Gold. If countries want to know whether they have stability or not, they look at their gold reserves. Gold. That's the big deal. If you got gold, you're economically secure. So what does he mean when the streets are paved with gold? Well, remember when John wrote that, there wasn't any asphalt highways. There might have been a few brick. But what they would do is they would take the salt that was worthless and throw it on the roads. Stuff that was no more good, they would throw on the roads to keep the roads packed down. So what's John telling us? That the streets in heaven are paved with what man on earth thinks is the most important thing. In heaven, not fit for anything except to be walked on. That's how much God has for you because He loves you. We can't even begin to imagine that. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You know, I remember reading one time where it talks about how long we're going to be praising God. I remember thinking as a kid, man, can you praise God that long? If you see Him, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Talks about the angels before the throne praising God continuously. If you're that close to God, yeah, you better believe it, you're going to be praising Him because He's worthy of that praise. Don't hold your praise just for Thanksgiving. Don't hold it just for Sundays. Be praising and thanking God every day He sends. Amen? Because that's what it means to be a grateful person. Father, thank You for Your Word, for Your blessings, for Your presence in our lives, for so many things that You give us that we're thankful for. But Father, more than just things, thank You for peace. Thank You for love. Thank You for Your life that You've given to us. Life and life more abundantly that You give to us without measure. Your Spirit that You freely give us, that fills us to overflowing, that produces the fruit of Your Spirit in our lives. Things that You have done in us and through us that make life worth living. God, thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Help us to be grateful people. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know You, that does not have a relationship, that has never truly understood what it meant to walk in the Spirit, to be in the light, to experience these things we're talking about, Father, I pray that You'll work in their heart and their life right now. That before they leave this place today, they will ask You to forgive them of their sins. Father, to cleanse them, to come into their life, to come into their heart, come into their mind, be their Savior, be their Lord, to fill them to overflowing with Your Spirit, that they might truly be grateful people. Or whatever You want to do in our lives, help us to let You do that even right now. We are Yours. This is Your time. We commit it all to You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.